Log Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
This is Brenda Pierce, the Empowered Nurse, here with my co-host, Pat Kennedy, the Rock and Roll Nurse, and our very, very special guest, Mary Lynn Ross. And we're going to be sharing some very candid conversation today about breast health, breast awareness, and everything to do with making your life sparkle and shine its best and having healthy breasts. So welcome, and welcome everyone, and thank you for being with me tonight, Pat, and do you have some words of welcome you'd like to share?
Absolutely. I'm so excited about the Breast Show Radio. I think it's going to really catch on, such a great venue to be empowered and educated and helping you and assisting you, not only on your journey to health, but making an informed decision. So I love how full disclosure it is, and we really get and create relationships with amazing individuals that you have on the show. And Brenda, I think that people are pulling up an herbal tea and a nice little lazy back chair and just relaxing, and they're going to learn and they're going to really be blown away with tonight's show.
Absolutely. And our very, very special guest, the incredible Mary Lynn Ross. She's an internationally acclaimed, multi-award-winning filmmaker, actress, and author of 8 books. And she starred in 35-plus TV and mainstream films. She is known as daytime's first comedian, giggling her way into 26 million viewers' hearts on ABC's General Hospital, and a renowned child advocate honored by Presidents Clinton and George W. Bush. She worked with Oprah at the Presidential Summit, and she is a luminary beyond incredibility. And Mary Lynn Ross, welcome to Breast Show Radio.
My pleasure. Good to be here.
Oh, wow. You know, it's incredible. You know, it doesn't matter where we are or where we are in this earth. You know, breasts are revered, and they can also be a blessing and a curse. They give nurturance to life and motherhood, and beauty is based on our breasts. And Mary Lynn, you have an incredible, beautiful reputation for being in the limelight in Hollywood and in films and all this sort of thing. And so you know how important breast health is in terms of looks and appearance, but you also have an incredible story to share with us about breast health and healing as well. Wondered if you could share, please.
Well, actually, I haven't had breast cancer, number one, but I've actually known many people who've had it at different levels, with different diagnoses, with different stages, with different levels of treatment. And through the years, I've seen so many different attitudes that people had regarding their diagnosis. And one of the things that I'd like to do a hats off to you, Brenda, is that I know you've been an RN, and you're a magical RN, because you're a caregiver. And that's what I want to sort of speak to momentarily here, because caregivers are the magic potion when there is an ear that's listening, a hand that reaches out, a knowingness, you've been there before, how you can help someone. And I am not an RN, and yet I know some healing modalities, which people who know me know I work as an energetic healer. I don't put a sign up. Whoever's before me, if it feels right, that I would deal with them. Recently, my sister-in-law was diagnosed with breast cancer. And that first diagnosis, as we know, people go into a shock, a disbelief, or what am I going to do? Hers was an early stage, so to speak. It had come out a bit from the duct, the breast duct, but it was encapsulated, and they were able to do a minor surgery, but her option of choice were 35 radiation treatments. And when I first heard that, I was a bit perplexed. 35, wow, that seems like a lot. She was marginal, by the way, in doing the treatment. She just hit the line when they have all these different analyses of what treatment you should get, and they have... She's working with a group, very good cancer group down in Florida, and that group, they said, you really need the radiation. So she had the surgery of removing it. It did not go to the lymph nodes or anything. So here's how folded, which was I decided with her, I offered, would you like me to be a surrogate? And she said, well, what is a surrogate? You're not having a baby for me. I said, no, I'm not having a baby for you. But in an energetic way, I can help you and work with you whereby whatever effects you do not need, we're eliminating that toxicity as you're getting the treatment. And because you're so convinced that this is your way to go, it's not up to me. And that's what I want to say to everyone out there, that if you have a diagnosis and you have help with people in your family to help give you an idea of what might be the best treatment, you discuss it, they go to the doctors with you because there's so much information that you're going to get that it's very confusing. Don't have a family member. The idea then would be to contact doctors, and Brenda, you probably know that there are nurses that will come in to help them, and
yes,
that will come in to help you. So all this going on, my sister-in-law had my brother, who's brilliant, who knows all the questions to ask. She had other friends, but she had me in the wings. And what I started doing with her was I dropped to neutral, number one. To neutral means that I am not connected to either her feelings or her condition, but that I'm an energetic, I would call it an energetic vessel to the good of what she needs in the healing treatment, that when she's taking the radiation, that it would not be destroying the good cells, that we would energize them. I started taking a couple of tinctures for her. You can actually hold these tinctures. They're homeopathic remedies where the energetic field is there. And one of them was for the liver because the liver, as we know, gets rid of the toxins, and so do the kidneys. So I was taking a kidney potion daily for her. She was also instructed that she should not take supplements of A, C, and there was another vitamin that actually embellish cell growth. At this point, the radiation working with her was not to promote cell growth, but to diminish what the cancer was. Oh, by the other way, the other vitamin I was thinking of was vitamin E. So
oh, yes.
The kidney potion I was taking also affects the gallbladder. So that worked in a harmony with her whole system. And anyway, I can go on and on because there's a lot I want to say about her condition before getting the cancer. So maybe you want to ask me a question or I can go on and on.
Go ahead, Pat.
I think it's fascinating what you're bringing to light on the show today, and that is that you can be a surrogate. The energetic component of health is pivotal to be addressing, but you're taking it to another level of understanding for the women that have been diagnosed and searched out mainstream therapies, and that's what they chose to do with their cancers. And I think it's great that we profile all the things with respect to breast cancer prevention, because these women want to prevent it from coming back just as much as someone wants to prevent it from happening in the first time. I think it's important to make note that there are clearly two forms of medicine that exist on this planet today. One is the classic mainstream medicine with what most of us were plugged into very early on and very aware of. And as registered nurses, I've been an RN for 41 years. I've worked in the mainstream arena predominantly in my career. But there's also this wonderful world of natural preventative medicine, holistic medicine, that is the body-mind-spirit component. And when you peek into that side, that realm, or you're blessed to have someone that can be a surrogate or help you with what they know and their expert in, that's wonderful. I think the largest focus of the breast show as we go to various locations is the focus to open the door wider, understand the brilliance of what is available to all of us in that realm of natural preventive, of holistic, the body, mind, spirit.
Absolutely. One of the things here is that if we take a look at before the diagnosis, and that because we're speaking about a particular case, my sister-in-law, she had about 3 years of being estranged from her only child. And it was almost like losing a child. And those people who know me know I lost my son. So he was my only child. And I know the grief that we go through. I know the stress. I know the recommitment we have to make in wanting to go on in life, to find a purpose, to understand why we're here, what we're doing, all the very fundamental questions. So in this loss that she was feeling, it was different because there's no closure. The child is not dead yet. There's no contact. And the estrangement created a depression. It created a feeling, tremendous anxiety of loss and grief. So that was the precondition that may or may not contribute. But we do know, as you mentioned, part of the work that, and I say work or play, of how we're choosing to deal with the diagnosis also has to do with each step of the way with the treatment. Are we going to be a nervous wreck wondering what the next test is, wondering, oh, my gosh, and being consumed with, am I going to get it again? Is it really gone? Where that becomes the focus rather than the shift that takes place when a lot of women hear the word, including me, you hear the word C, and you go, up, death sentence, and it triggers everything histrionic, all the way back to God knows when, time immemorial. And what I'm trying to say here is when that trigger hits, it's like a near-death experience. You're visioning it, and if you extrapolate what the benefits of contemplating a near-death experience, which I do in some of my books, by the way. We say, what if this is your last day, your last week, your last year? What would you do differently? How would your priorities change? And this is an opportunity for you to really get down, all of us, to know who and what we really are. And in these moments, how do we find that out? Because if you've been the caregiver, if you've been the surrogate to so many different people in your life, the mother, the wife, the type A worker at work, and you've always been the one to do and take care of everyone, this is the new shift of how do I nurture myself? How can I treat myself with the same respect, reverence, and love that I give to others? And in that shift alone, when the perspective starts to shift, this is the placebo potentially for healing. Because when we are nurturing ourselves, we're not going to get jacked out of shape about every little thing that happens to us. We're going to look at things with more balance. That priority that used to be, maybe it isn't. And if your husband says at 5 o'clock dinner has to be ready, and you're really sick and tired of it after 25 years, and you say, you know what, I'm ordering out tonight. You start doing things differently. You start doing things you love.
Yeah.
I recently read something that a doctor wrote, and he wrote about what is survivorship, and how do you cope with this fear that's underlying that it might come back, that it isn't gone. And he said the people he saw that were having the best results had something that I love sharing with everybody, which is a sense of humor. They started lightening up. They started enjoying the breeze that was floating through. And they started doing things they loved doing, even if it were helping someone else to come to terms with their diagnosis. Or playing with children, getting a new dog, whatever it is, that you discover and rediscover what you love and start living in that love.
That's beautiful.
Very, very powerful, and such a powerful message of the emotional, energetic component of our health. And we have to put ourselves on the front burner as women. I mean, we've discussed this, so many of my colleagues, and we work as caregivers, and it's very important in that healing process and taking our power back and driving this ship towards wellness and prevention is so pivotal on having it clear and defined that we deserve to be on the front burner and keep ourselves strong so we can be strong for others.
Absolutely. The other thing is that this word surrogate, if it doesn't fit for you, look, you don't have to think of it that way. You can think of it as your best friend. This is someone that you are going to listen to. My challenge, because I am so much into alternative medicine with my sister-in-law, Jan, was I talked about earlier, dropping to neutral, meaning I had to know I wasn't going to fix her. I wasn't going to heal her. This is her decision. This is her choice. What she chooses, I'm 100% behind that. And as I see doubts come into her, the idea then is to reinforce the doubts. Because I had a very different experience I'd like to momentarily share. When I was quite young, much, much younger, my mother was diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian. By the time they got to her opening her up, she was riddled with cancer, as they put it. In fact, the doctor, who is Israeli, by the way, he came out of an 8-hour surgery and fell in my arms sobbing. And I knew that was limited time, which was about 10 months. That time, I didn't know about surrogacy. I'm an empath. I could feel everything. I was born clairaudient, clairvoyant, blah, blah, blah. I feel things. I was taking on her illness. I was the weeping child. I had a face. Oh, my gosh. Every time I looked at her, she would probably think, oh, my God, I probably only have 2 seconds to go, because I was weeping caregiver. I was incapable. If she didn't eat, I didn't eat. I was down to under 100 pounds. I'm 5'5". That is not good. So my point is I didn't have the skill base then. And being an empath, I did not know how to separate that illness from me.
Right.
RNs, you've had to learn that. And what I'd like to share right now is through my work over the years of understanding things, I have learned this technique to drop to neutral, to listen to what they really want and to support it. Now, if I get an instinct that's totally off, then I might say something to them, but it wouldn't be anything that would put them down a spiral of feeling there's no hope. The whole idea is I believe that we, within ourselves, have the intuitive ability to make the right decision for ourselves. Once you're on a track, that doesn't mean if you're on, is it called tamoxifen or what is that?
Tamoxifen.
Tamoxifen. If that becomes your five-year plan, no one says it's carved in stone. Maybe 6 months from now, some other whole new cure happens and things, you can switch it up. And I understand following the traditional method. It best works for people who like a plan, want statistics, much more analytical minds, and they are going to go with that. It feels right. It feels good, by all means. On the other hand, if you're a mix, you can experiment, as we've been talking about, stepping out of it, meditating, learning to visualize, learning to tune into your own body and ask it what it wants. And so if we could take a moment for all of you out there listening and for me too, for all of us, to be able to just simply drop to neutral is the easiest technique. Can we do that now?
Yeah, we'd love to.
Yes.
Okay. So right now, just think of something, and it may not be your, you know, a diagnosis or someone who has been diagnosed. It could be that. Think of something that is troubling you right now that you feel that if you don't take care of it, nothing will work out. It's that kind of catastrophic moment where we've put everything on one thing, that this has to be, and so we feel anxious about it. We feel whatever you're feeling. Just allow that for one moment and take a deep breath so we're in this visualization together. One deep breath. And expand the breath for a moment into a light field. You can just good. And exhale so that now have your drama going on, and open your eyes for a second now. And I'd like you to take your hand and place it right at your throat chakra, right at the throat, and you're going to just drop it. Drop your fingers. You can have two fingers up right below the belly button. And this is your chi level, so we're going to know that we can do this. So I'm working with all of you right now. We're going to take our hand and drop it. I'm going to help you. Drop to neutral. Good. People think I have a tic because I walk around doing that sometimes. It doesn't happen. You know, and they look at me and they, you know, people don't really care. Once we realize that, they look at you, oh, she's a little odd. They don't really care. So if start practicing this when you're in the middle of feeling anxious, frightened, overwhelmed, do this exercise. And it's one swish. And you can even do it with a finger snap. So you just as long as it works. So that's a good offering. That's what I did all the way through working with Jan. I stayed in neutral. And sometimes when I would talk to her, it wouldn't be about anything. She would talk. She would tell me a lot of different things, and I would listen. And I would learn, too. And it would be conversations. Sometimes I would call her with some nonsense, and we would just be there together. But I was doing, on a daily basis, the energetic work. And at the end of her 35 treatments, she hadn't felt tired during the entire time. Now, one of the things she was told, and we have to watch out what we listen to, We form a new belief. We give power to a new belief. It usually can also affect you, and you'll be tired after the treatments are done. Okay? Mm-hmm. She said that to me. Well, today I was a little tired. I said, and by the way, she had insomnia at different times in her life and had the sweats and would get insomnia. I said, thank God you're a little tired. She said, I took a nap in the middle of the day. I never do that. I said, how good is that? You're starting to sleep. Is this wonderful or wonderful? Shifted her perspective about what tired meant. And she started using it to her advantage. She was getting more sleep. And that would make her feel better and the overall health look.
Wow. Wow.
Very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Extremely powerful.
But so simple. It's amazing just to go through that little exercise with you, Mary Lynn. It's just, it's so simple.
I think if it isn't simple and it's going to feel like work, we're not going to do it. We're already, and I'm going to use the word exhausted, with all the information that hits us every day, this opinion, that opinion, this, well, that happened to that person. We're already on an overwhelm in our brain. We need to delete the mind. We need to go to that neutral, flowing state and go out, and if you can't jog yet, walk. If you can't smell a rose, do those things again. And I want to go back to, for me, the greatest healer in my life has been laughter.
Yeah.
On my epitaph, I say, you know, we all think about maybe our epitaph or maybe not. It's in one of my books. And by the way, I'll recommend a couple of them because they're fun and they're provocative as well. Is that my epitaph is, she giggled her way into heaven.
Beautiful.
And that may sound silly, but it's a powerful tool when you just start to laugh. And I've done this with Brenda before, and it's way before the yoga ha-has, because my son, when he was only in the 7th grade, was in the 11th grade, going into his first year in he went into college early, in junior college, and he came home, and he said, Mom, I'm in my film class, and the kids are coming over because I have to do my film at home. The name of his film was The Ha Ha Gang, and he started us laughing, and he was filming it, and we couldn't stop laughing. And he starts simple ha-ha-has. And that, if you do it, we've done it with kids, we've done it with preschoolers, we've done it with seniors, anyone, because laughter is a universal language, it's a universal release, it's a universal endorphin maker. You can lose weight if you do 10 of them belly laughs a day because you're using that stomach muscle. All good things. You can't be angry. You can't be anxious when you're laughing. So my little tincture that I offer you and myself and anyone we meet is a big smile, and then we can turn it into ha-ha laughter, just doing ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. And you keep going, and you'll belly laugh, and you'll go on. And guess what? You can use yourself as your laugh track. You don't need a whole gang of people. You go into that mirror when you're feeling down or whatever. You look in the mirror, and you start the ha, 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 and you'll start laughing. You'll see yourself joyous. You'll go from whatever sad face you had to happy.
Wow, that's beautiful, Mary Lynn. You know, the half hour is almost up, and I'd like us all just to end this show with joyous laughter. So, everyone, laughter is the best medicine, and Mary Lynn Ross is the ambassador of laughter. And good healing and wonderful information was shared on this Brush Show radio show. So thank you very much, Mary Lynn.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.
All righty.
All right, let's end it with laughter.
All righty.
Yes. All right. Laughter and live well. Bye-bye for now.
What I'm about to say.
what you